We continue two lines down from where the wide lines begin to get wide on Mem Omer Aleph. We've been discussing the concept of trish eino trufa, whether this trish type of food, which is not minced, whether you can rely on it or not. We discussed the idea of the spine and the head being recognizable, and what about the fins and scales? How exactly does that work? It seems like it's only limited to that type of food. But now we're going to go back to the other case, which is the tzir she'esh badaga, the fish with brine in it, which is the kilbis fish, which we mentioned a little earlier in the beginning of the Amud, and we'll get back to that in a moment. Yasev Rav Chinana bar Idi kamei de Rav Ada bar Ava v'yasev hika'amar. So Rav Chinana said the following in front of Rav Ada: Oved kochavim shehevi areva malea chavios. If an idolater brought a boatload full of barrels, and these barrels had fish in them, v'nimsa kilbis ba'achas mehen, and a kilbis fish was found in one of these barrels, can we permit the all of the barrels now or not? Psuchos kulan mutaros. If all the barrels are open, we will assume that they're all permissible, because since there's a kilbis fish in one of the barrels, we'll assume then that there must be kilbis fishes. There must have been at least kilbis fishes in all of the other barrels. And Rashi says, but they probably just fell out. Stumos, but if they were sealed barrels, himuteris, the one with the kilbis fish inside of it, is mutter. V'kulan asuros, and the rest of them are prohibited. This is the way Rashi understands the Gemara. But if you go back to the beginning of the Amud, on the top of the Amud, Rashi's Perush then becomes a little confusing, because he mentioned in the way Rashi understood the beginning of the Gemara on top of Mem and Aleph was that if you find a kilbis fish in an open barrel, we assume that that barrel is not kosher because it fell in on its own, or it fell in from somewhere else. But if you find two kilbis fishes in an open barrel, then we're going to be lenient. So here we're using an open barrel earlier in the Gemara to be more machmir, and now we're using a kilbis fish to be more makel. So what does that mean? How do you understand that? So Tosos actually, at the end of the Tosos, he says, well, what Rashi could mean in his understanding of our Gemara now is that when it says when you find kilbis in one of them, it doesn't mean you find one kilbis fish. You could be finding, two or multiple kilbis in one barrel, and that will be used to permit all the other barrels. But even so, it's still difficult, a little more difficult to understand. So Tosos, quoting Rabbeinu Ephraim, comes up with a different approach, which is that psuchos in the Gemara on the top of Mem Amar Aleph, if you find one kilbis in an open barrel, that's when we're lenient. But if you find two if in a closed barrel, then you need to find two. That's the way he wanted to understand it, and therefore both our Gemara now and the Gemara on the top were using psuchos as a reason to be lenient. Not that in one case you're using it to be you're going to be machmir, in one case you're going to be lenient. Anyhow, that is a ruling of Rav Chinana. If you find kilbis in one of the barrels and it's opened, all of them are permissible, and if it's closed, only that one is permissible. Amar Lei, so Rav Ada asked him, Minalacha, how do you know this? So he answered, Mitlasa Krai Shmili, I heard it from three psukim. What do you mean, three psukim? Meirav, Ushmuel, v'Rabbi Yochanan. For Rav, Shmuel, and Rav Yochanan, those aren't three psukim, but those are three scholars who are Rashi says, they're so knowledgeable that it's like you heard it from three psukim. Okay, continues the Gemara on a slightly different subject, but still focusing on fish. Amarav Brona, Amarav Kahana, Amarav Kirve Dagim v'Uvran Einichen Ela Minamumcha. If you want to purchase the innards of fish and Uvran, their eggs, you can only purchase the fish eggs and the innards of eggs from a Mumcha. That's a Jew who is an expert on kashrus. Ramile Ula Rabbi Dostoy Dimin Biri Mitik Amarav Kirbe Dagam the Uvran Einikamila Elamina Mumcha Michal the Dag Tami Islay. The Dag Tami Islay Uber. Well, the implication then is that if you can only purchase fish eggs from an expert, that the implication is that there must be non-kosher fish that produce fish eggs. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any reason to be so strict. The Gemara says, hold on a second. Uraminhu, we have a brisa in Bechoros that says, dag tame mishritz dag tawar matal beitzim, that a dag tame doesn't have eggs. It actually just is mishritz. It's some sort of hatching that's brought out, but it's not in it's not an egg. So how can you talk about the fact that you can purchase the innards of fish, you can only purchase the innards of fish and their eggs from a mumcha? So the Gemara answers, some imikan over and take out eggs. You can only purchase, when it says you can something that you can only purchase, a type of fish that you can only purchase from a mumcha, we're talking about the innards of fish can only be purchased from a mumcha. The eggs, there's no need to purchase it from an expert because only kosher fish produce eggs. Amar le Rav Zeira, however, Rav Zeira says, hold on a second. Right? Ula says, or Rav Zeira says, lo tismi, you don't need to erase the word ubron, because tarvayo matili beitzim nino. No, both non-kosher fish and kosher fish produce eggs. So what's the difference? Elazem mishritz mi bechutz, bezem mishritz mi bifnim. One hatches the eggs inside the body, and one hatches them on the outside. Rashi says that the kosher fish hatches their eggs outside of the body, whereas the stomach of the mother, as opposed to the non-kosher ones, it hatches inside the stomach of the mother. The Gemara says, fine. Okay, so now we understand that, well, there's two opinions. One, that opinion that non-kosher fish don't have eggs, and the other one that both of them do. But bottom line is that according to one opinion, at least, according to everyone, you can only purchase the innards of fish from a mumcha, and according to some, you can. This includes fish eggs as well. So the Gemara says, "Lamun li mumcha? What do you need a mumcha for? Livdok b'simanim. Just look at the signs. There are ways to determine whether this egg would be kosher or not. This kosher, this fish egg will be kosher or not. There are signs. So as long as you follow the signs, then it should be permissible. Why do you need an expert to tell you the signs? D'tanya, kisimani beitzim, kach simani dagim. The Gemara in Chulin says, as with regards to fish eggs, so too are the signs of a fish. The Gemara says, that's a very strange statement. Simani dagim salka taitach. Can you say that the signs of fish eggs are the same signs as fish? No. Simani dagim snapper because kesses ksibuhu. We know what the signs of a fish are. It's fins and scales. So that line doesn't make sense. Rather, what did that line mean in that Gemara? In that Brisa, I'm sorry. Ela kesimani beitzim kach simani ovrei dagim. What just changed? Rashi says kesimani beitzim, like the signs of kosher fish eggs. Not fish eggs. Bird eggs. Eggs of fowl. So too, ubre dagim, so too fish eggs. So you have bird eggs and fish eggs. That's what it means. Ve'elu hein simani beitzim. What are the signs of kosher bird eggs, which are similar to fish eggs? Kol shekoderes ve'agulgeles rosha echad kad v'rosha echad chad tahora. If the egg is narrowed and round on each end. Echad kad, v'rosh echad chad, I'm sorry. One is flat and one is narrow, then it's tahora. But beiz rosh en chadin, u beiz rosh kadin tmeya. But if both sides are narrow or both sides are flat, then it's going to be tame. So it has to be narrow and round, but on one side it's flat and one side it's narrow. That's what makes it a tahor egg. And if it's the same on both sides, then it's a tame egg. So that's if you notice the laws when it comes to eggs of an oaf, of chicken or fowl, so then you'll know the same rules would apply to the eggs of fish. So then and then the Gemara continues. Chelmon mi bachutz, v'chelbon mi bifnim, temeya, chelbon mi bachutz, v'chelmon mi bifnim, tahor, chelbon v'chelmon, mi ureven ze bezeh, zuhi beitas hasheretz. Okay, so that's another discussion about the egg of a Sheretz animal, and there's a discussion what the determining signs are. That's not our discussion. The bottom line is that we know that fish eggs look like bird eggs, and therefore you don't need a mumcha. So why would you need a mumcha then? So Amar Rava, so Rava qualifies the statement of our Gemara, Kishini Mucho. Now you know when, you're right, you can use the signs, and the signs will be enough to determine whether the fish eggs are kosher or not. But what if the eggs already softened and you can't really determine whether it's an egg or not? Well, then at that point, if you think it might have been an egg, you're not sure, then you need to go to a mumcha to determine whether it has been or not, then he will tell you whether it is kosher. Now the Gemara asks the other question that might have been on your mind. What about Rabbi Dustoy, who said that there's no such thing as non-kosher fish eggs, so there's no issue here. Well, then, how would the Gemara then in Chulin make sense? Like bird eggs, so too fish eggs. No, there's no issue here because fish eggs, there's no such thing as non-kosher fish eggs. The Gemara says, "V'atanya kisimani beitzim kach simani uvrei dagim." The way didn't we say that Tanya kisimani beitzim kach simani uvrei dagim? So clearly, we're dealing with fish eggs, and he agrees that they have fish eggs. So the Gemara says, "Lav teruti. If you don't like that, I'll give you a different answer, a different way to understand the Mishnah. Kisimani beitzim kach simani kirvei dagim. According to Rabbi Dustoy, you have to take out the whole idea of fish eggs, and rather instead just use kirvei dagim, the innards of fish. Again, there's no reason to have signs for fish eggs because according to Rabbi Dustoy, all fish eggs are inherently kosher. So rather, what the Mishnah must mean is the way that bird eggs look like is similar to the way that the innards of fish look like. And beichimish kachas bisimane kirvei dagim. How do you determine whether a sign? What are the signs of the innards of fish that they're kosher? Shei kad v'chad, that they're flat and narrow. Well, where is that? Mishkachas la. So where exactly? Where v'hechi mishkachas b'simani. Where do you find these signs? What's a situation where there's an innards of the fish where you can have these signs that it's one end is flat and one end is narrow? Where it says mishkachas la with the shilfucha type of fish, it has these signs. So according to Rabbi Dustoy, who doesn't maintain that non-kosher fish produce eggs, that he's talking about the innards of fish, it applies to one type of fish. Rashi says is sheldag shemalei ruach. It's a dog that has a lot of air. So it's a some sort of fish which is, I guess, a little larger than others because it has like some sort of air pocket. But this is all fine and well if you have a mumcha around. So again, if you can rely on the simanim, then everything is great. Rely on the signs. If you can't rely on the simanim, then you need to find the mumcha. But what if you can't find the mumcha and you're hungry, you want to eat something? It's like Mar asks, "In Eim Sham Mumcha Mai, what do you do if there's no expert around?" Amar Rabbi Huda, Kivan to Amar Ani Melachtim Mutarim. If the person who you're asking whether it's kosher or not says, "I salted it," in other words, as Rashi says, "I know that this is a kosher fish because I personally did it," and then Rashi says, and out of this kosher fish, I took the innards out. So then you can trust the mutarim. You can trust the person who claims to have done it himself, because he can't blame it on anyone other than his own actions if he's lying to you, and he's not going to want to lie. Rav Nachman Amar Ad Sheyomer Elu Dagim VeElu Kirveim. But Rav Nachman's more machmir and says, no, you only rely on this person if he shows you the fish itself and the innards that are connected to it. If he shows you both, then we can rely on him. Ori lei Rav Yehuda la'ada dayala. Rav Yehuda, who was more lenient, he pret to Ada, he ruled for Ada the Dayala. Rashi says he was a shamish, regulios sachir laosa suuda lasakin tafshil, and he was some sort of caterer. So he ruled for Rav Yehuda. Kivan to Amar ani malachti mutarim. He was lenient that as long as he said, "I salted the fish, and you have nothing to worry about because I know it came from a kosher fish," You can rely on that, even though he wasn't a mumcha. So again, just to go back over here, we're discussing the law of fish eggs and the innards of a fish. I'm not sure how many people eat any of these items, but nevertheless, they do have their own unique simanim, and therefore you don't need to have any special hechsher on it. You just look for the simanim. If the simanim aren't there, then you can ask a mumcha to determine whether it's kosher or not. And if the mumcha is not available, if the person who is serving you the food testifies that they themselves were involved in the cleaning process of, or the full process of making this dish for you and this fish, then you can rely on him. Otherwise, you cannot.